Honorable Gajendra Kumar Ponnambalam, you have 8 minutes.
I thank you, Honorable Deputy Speaker. I would like to take this opportunity on congratulating you and members of the government for having won an unprecedented mandate. I think it is fully well deserved. I would also like to remind members of this House that I think it is the NPP party in the last parliament and our party that refused to speak to President Ranil Wickremesinghe's government because we believed that he did not have a mandate. So when we consider the words of President Andrakumara Dissanayake with regards to democracy or the lack of it in the past, and his references to that term whilst he made his policy statement, I would like to remind him that our party was one that stood consistently along with the NPP in refusing to engage with a government that we believed was a rogue government that did not have a mandate. I would like to particularly welcome Honourable Deputy Speaker, the President's following comments. He says on page one of his speech, it's the English speech that I'm reading from, "I also acknowledge that there are communities that did not trust us but instead placed their faith in other political movements. The essence of democracy lies in the coexistence of diverse political ideologies and groups. Our government and I are committed to fulfilling the needs and aspirations of the citizens of every community, both those who voted for us and those who did not." I make specific reference, Honourable Deputy Speaker, to those three paragraphs because subsequently he goes on to say this, which is a very important part of his policy and this government's policy, which is, we will not allow ethnic-based politics in our country. Similarly, we will not tolerate religious extremism. We are a people who have suffered enough from ethnic conflict. Now, I make that particular reference because I believe there is a possibility of a contradiction with regards to the first three paragraphs that I quoted and this particular paragraph. Now, President Andrakumara Dissanayake during the campaign and the NPP have made it quite clear that they are against racism. And the terms that they use with regards to racism is nationalistic politics and religious extremism. Those are the general terms that are being used. Now, I would like to remind the President and the government that our party, the All Ceylon Tamil Congress, which I represent in Parliament, and the Tamil National People's Front, the All Ceylon Tamil Congress, which is the oldest Tamil political party in Sri Lanka, believed in a Sri Lankan identity. We were a party that believed in working with the governments of the day. We joined governments. Our leader, G.G. Ponnambalam, became a cabinet minister. And we believed in fully cooperating. As long as the Tamil identity was protected, we felt that a Sri Lankan all-encompassing identity is what is best for Sri Lanka. But unfortunately, if you look at the 75-76 year history of this country, that Sri Lankan identity has been just a facade for what is essentially a Sinhala Buddhist, almost a racist identity. To simply say that we are all Sri Lankan in a country where Sinhala Buddhism, Sinhala Buddhist nationalism has become the mainstay of politics to the exclusion of all other identities, to the exclusion of all identities. I say it very particularly because in the previous government also, in the previous parliaments also, this notion of racism was spoken. Mahinda Rajapaksa spoke of racism. It is Gotabaya Rajapaksa spoke of racism, and that we shouldn't accept it. But their version of racism was when the Tamil people, after 75 years of distinct racism against the Tamil people, where we have been disenfranchised, where our lands have been grabbed, where the ethnic composition of the Northeast has been systematically tampered with, where colonization took place. Even today, just before this government coming into power, colonization schemes were taking place in the East. If I am to mention a few, in Batiklo, if you take Batiklo, Mailattam and Madhavane, areas where there is a distinct colonization project that was going on, in Vavuniya, in the north of Vavuniya. So, you know, to talk in terms of racism, when the Tamils have brought up the issues that we have had faced for over 75 years, in being deliberately targeted in areas that we have historically habited, where our ethnic composition has been systematically changed, altered by the state policies, and when we rebel against those policies of the state, there is a potential for this last paragraph that His Excellency mentions to be also coined by this government as racism. So I would like clarifications, because, you see, after 75 years of systematic anti-Tamilness in the Northeast, which is our areas of historical habitation, when we talk of our discrimination and the racism that has been meted out against us, to simply say that we must not talk about Tamil, Sinhalese, we must talk of Sri Lankan, is to simply erase that history of discrimination, of racism that has been meted out for 75 years against the Tamil people. It is a systematic racism. For example, Honorable Deputy Speaker, in the Human Rights Council, in the UN, Prince Zaid, who was the Human Rights High Commissioner, made it a point. He said that Sri Lanka cannot have an internal inquiry, an entirely internal inquiry for accountability, because of the ethnic conflict, because of the history of the ethnic conflict for over 35 years, that the institution of government have been so corrupted that they cannot deliver justice, particularly in an ethnic conflict sense. So these are important realities that we must address if we are to ever genuinely create security for all ethnicities, security for the Tamil people in particular, who believe that they have been... Who they believe have been discriminated against, and without doing that, to simply say that we must only talk in terms of a Sri Lankan identity is going to make matters worse. I would also, since I have such little time, mention one more thing. I think the whole of today we spoke in terms of the Prevention of Terrorism Act. Honorable Deputy Speaker, memorialization of the Tamil people with regards to the LTTE cadres who have died, as well as the Tamil people who lost their lives, is identical, is no different from the JVP's memorialization. There cannot be any difference. Both those armed struggles were silenced by the state, and both those armed struggles were legitimate. There were legitimate reasons why people were forced to take up arms. That is where we come from. So without addressing those legitimate reasons and finding solutions, to simply allow one as completely unbanned and being allowed to commemorate, whereas the other to have certain restrictions, I don't believe is fair. Especially because those restrictions are based on a circular that came into being in 2011. The very same government that your present government calls a racist government. So when that government has come up with a circular that is today being applied with regards to how you can commemorate, or the restrictions with regards to commemoration, I think it is completely unfair, and I strongly urge this government to put that mistake right. I also would like to say that the PTA must not
Honorable
be
member,
used
your time
at all,
is up.
Not only in the Northeast, but also in the South. There are provisions within the Penal Code. There are provisions between various other legal instruments that the police and other authorities can use. The PTA certainly is not one of them, and it is important because the police use the PTA as a weapon. They use it to prevent bail. They use it to punish before you can even face justice. And that must be completely not allowed, Honourable Deputy Speaker. In that sense, I would urge my good friend, the Minister of Justice, is someone I go back a long way. We were in bar school together in London. I know him in a totally different incarnation. We won't talk about that in this house. But I certainly have a lot of trust in him. I have a lot of respect for him. I know that he's certainly not a member who can be categorized as communal-minded or as having a strong Sinhala Buddhist nationalist bias. And I would urge him to look into this matter, as well as the question of Tamil political prisoners. There are 9 who still continue to be incarcerated. I would urge for you to release them as early as possible. I would like to mention one individual. He's a member called Morris. He's known as Morris. I think the Honourable President knows him. I think the Honourable Vijita Herat knows him. He has been transferred without any reason from the Colombo magazine prison to Hambantota. And that was a victimization because the person previously made that transfer and retired. There is no reason
whatsoever
for that transfer. I would urge you to have an inquiry with regards to that. Thank you.
Honourable Ajahn Purnamalam MP, your concerns will all be addressed, and what you have listed was 70 years of past history, and we have taken over now. It's been less than a month. You can rely on us. We are the true friends of the North. So therefore, whatever the genuine grievances you have, there may have been mistakes in the past, but we shall address them, including the political prison situation, after proper legal assessment. So therefore, there's nothing to nothing to be suspicious about our motivation and intentions. Let's work together on this one. So if there are any concerns, please direct them to my ministry, and I will definitely look into them. Thank you very much for raising those concerns.